today. Powell's rate warning tightens the screw on cash-strapped countries. The Supreme Court hears a January 6th case with implications for Donald Trump, as the first jurors are chosen in his hush money criminal trial. And 100 days to go, but global tensions hang over the Paris Olympics. It's Wednesday, April 17th. This is Reuters World News, bringing you everything you need to know from the front lines in 10 minutes, every weekday. I'm Kim Vanell in London.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
The U.S. and its allies are looking at hitting Iran with new sanctions after its weekend attack on Israel. The move is seen as an attempt to discourage Israel away from a major escalation. Israel's war cabinet meets for a third time today as it irons out its response plan. A U.S. college has cancelled a Muslim valedictorian's speech. The University of Southern California says the decision was made to keep the campus safe because of ongoing conflicts in the Middle East. The student says she's being silenced by anti-Palestinian hatred for her views on human rights. Joe Biden is calling for higher tariffs on Chinese aluminum and steel. The move is designed to woo steelworkers in the swing state of Pennsylvania and risks angering Beijing. Staying with Beijing, China has sent a fighter jet to watch and warn a U.S. Navy plane which flew over the Taiwan Strait. The U.S. mission was just hours after a rare call between the U.S. and Chinese defense chiefs. Residents of Dubai cross a flooded street in a rubber boat. Heavy rain in the UAE, the heaviest in 75 years, has caused chaos. Flights have been cancelled and at least one person was killed in the flash floods. The first seven jurors have been selected to serve on Donald Trump's hush money trial. 12 are needed, as well as six alternates. The judge also warned lawyers that he would not tolerate any efforts to intimidate prospective jurors. While Donald Trump sits in that New York courtroom, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering a case that could impact the prosecution into his efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss. A Pennsylvania man named Joseph Fisher is facing a federal charge of corruptly obstructing an official proceeding by taking part in the January 6th Capitol riot. Conservative justices appeared skeptical toward the obstruction charge, which was brought by the Justice Department. Scott Malone is our politics editor. Scott, what are conservatives' concerns here?
The justices' questions revolved around whether the law in question, which was passed in the wake of Enron's collapse and really aimed at the time at kind of, you know, preventing people from destroying documents that were the subject of federal investigations, could apply to what in essence was rioting. And the conservative justices basically, you know, asked one, whether this was applicable, and two, if it was, how broadly it would apply. The question was about the law's sweep and really whether it was necessary to charge people with this, given the many other criminal charges that they faced.
And the case has implications for Trump as well.
That's right. This is one of the charges that he's facing in the federal case brought against him by special counsel Jack Smith. Smith has argued before the court that it should apply to Trump and that the standards are different. The charges do revolve more around documents and the creation of a false slate of electors. And Smith has argued that in that case, it would still apply.
And next week, we'll see another Trump case that could have bigger implications.
Much bigger, yeah.
What should we expect?
Trump will be back before the Supreme Court next week on Thursday in a case where he's arguing, in essence, that presidents cannot be criminally charged for their conduct in office unless they are first impeached in the U.S. House of Representatives and convicted by the Senate. That's a much more sweeping argument, but in the event that the justices did receive that warmly, that could have a much, much broader effect and end many of the, or sharply limit many of the prosecutions that Trump faces.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell has signaled that cuts to interest rates are further off than planned. That higher for longer message is in sharp focus as the International Monetary Fund meets in Washington, D.C. It's putting poor nations with dollar-denominated debt under even more pressure. Dan Burns runs our coverage of economics in the Americas.
Emerging markets have really weathered the whole rate increase cycle and the plateau that the Fed's been on for some time pretty well. But there are definitely some trouble spots, and there are a number of debt restructuring deals on the table over the course of the days ahead. The IMF and Group of 20 several years ago came up with this grand structure for reorganizing debts for these smaller economies. And to this date, not one deal has been fully formalized. There's a couple of big ones that are going to be at issue over the next few days, one from Sri Lanka. That's a $12 billion deal on the table. And there's one from Ghana for $13 billion that's also at issue over the course of the days ahead, as well as several others, mostly African countries.
What are the trouble spots the IMF is watching out for?
One of the big risks to the IMF and others is the degree to which the U.S. government, the federal government, the Biden administration continues to have pretty aggressive spending plans for things like the IRA and CHIPS Act, et cetera, at a moment when the economy is already humming. So it continues to feed a demand picture that some people feel is not conducive to inflation coming down the degree to which the Fed needs it to in order to cut interest rates. And that was flagged as one of the risks to the outlook by the IMF today. And it does become a problem for those economies that have dollar-denominated debt at interest rates that are not responding and coming lower.
It's now 100 days until the Olympics in Paris, the first time the country's held the Games for 100 years. But in the three short years since the last Olympics, the world has changed.
The Taliban, about their human rights and brutal treatment of women and children and youth, they are very, very dangerous. If the IOC allows them to enter the Olympics.
Friba Rezaieh was Afghanistan's first female Olympian, but this year she's campaigning for her country to be banned. Her campaign is just one reason why the Paris Games could be overshadowed by global politics. The wars in Ukraine and Gaza also threaten to dim the Olympic flame in the City of Light. Gabrielle Tetreault-Faber is covering the Games for the fifth time. Gabrielle, let's start with Afghanistan.
So the IOC has acknowledged that there are different views on whether Afghanistan should be suspended, but it does not believe that isolating Afghan sport at this time is the right solution, is the right approach. But you have somebody like Friba Rezaieh. Her argument is that Afghan women should still be allowed to compete, but as part of the IOC refugee team.
Russian athletes are again competing as neutrals because of the doping scandal, and those athletes can't be seen to be supporting the war in Ukraine. How are organizers dealing with the war in Gaza?
So comparisons have been drawn between Israel and Russia in this situation, given its bombing campaign of Gaza and its military operation there. There have been calls to ban Israel or to have restrictions, as is the case for Russia, which is also waging a war in Ukraine. So far, those comparisons have not necessarily made sense to everybody, have not been accepted by all actors. So for now, I mean, Israel is set to go as Israel, and while Russia will not be going as Russia.
Are these games more political than normal?
The Olympics are always political. By nature, when you're representing a country, you're representing everything that comes with it. So an opening ceremony, when you walk behind your flag as an athlete, you're representing yourself, your team, and your country, which means the country's history, baggage, the country's conflicts, everything.
Before we go, we have a quick favor to ask. We want your feedback. You can help us improve Reuters World News podcast by taking a really short survey. You can find the link in the description. It takes 5 minutes and it's all about ensuring we're giving you more of what you want. Then we'll be back on Thursday with our daily headline show. Make sure you never miss an episode and subscribe on your favorite podcast player or download the Reuters app.